The book is called No Summit Out of Sight, the true story of the youngest person to climb the seven summits. And we've got that person on the line with us this morning, Jordan Romero. Jordan, thanks for sharing some time with us. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on air. glad to be here and share some stories.
Are you currently in training for another summit?
Well, that's a good question, man. You know, after I climbed all these mountains, there's still so much more I can do. And as of right now, I'm just getting ready to head off to college right now. And I'm actually in preparation for going to Africa, to Malawi, to be specific, to help build a primary school with a nonprofit called Build On. So I think I've really found my passion in what I want to keep doing for the rest of my life and to, be the change I want to see in the world.
Where did this passion come to climb the mountains? How did it all start for you?
Yeah, when I was 9 years old, I came across a mural at my school and it was labeled the highest point on each continent. So that right there is what changed my life, I guess you could say. And so I did some extensive research on it, and then my dad picked me up from school. I told him about what I saw and told him about all the research that I gathered and all the facts, and got on to training for about a year, and found ourselves, myself and my dad and my stepmom, Karen, on top of Mount Kilimanjaro on the roof of Africa when I was just after I turned 10 years old. And there, from there, I said one down, six to go.
When you were doing that first climb, did you have any sense of what it would be like to get to the top, or was it kind of just looking for that foot in front of you? How does a mountain climber process that climb?
It wasn't easy. Being 10 years old, for sure. We were able to get the climb done within 3 days, which is a little shorter than normal, but we still did it. I was feeling strong for sure, but it gets frustrating and boring, and it becomes overwhelming for sure to, when you're standing at the base and just looking at the mountain. It's pretty intimidating, I'll tell you what, but it's just about breaking it down into small steps and just focusing on, just putting one step in front of the other, and next thing you know, you're on the summit.
You've got as far as you can go. Next step is starting to work your way back down. I guess that's how it is when you get to the...
Exactly, reaching the summit is only the halfway point, and getting down is really what matters.
Yeah. We're talking today with Jordan Romero, author of No Summit Out of Sight, the true story of the youngest person to climb the seven summits. What did your classmates or peers think about what you were doing? How did you explain it to them? And did they kind of give you like, oh, yeah, sure, kind of attitude? What was the thoughts for those?
Yeah, my classmates were pretty fascinated with what I did. They supported a ton. And even still this day, my Disney Channel segment on TTI is still airing. So some friends with little siblings that say they always still see me. And they think it's really cool, and they support it, which is always awesome to have. And you could definitely say stand out a little bit amongst them. But I just want to do some big things.
Well, let's talk about some of those summits. Which ones did you? Sometimes it's hard to compare. What did you like about some? What seemed to be unique or even challenging for you?
Yeah, every summit was its own. Every mountain was its own mountain, or its own character. Each mountain was definitely unique in itself. Going down to Antarctica for one was to finish the last mountain was just the coolest place I've ever been to, and it's a place I would, if I could just book a plane ticket for tomorrow, I would go in a heartbeat to go down to Antarctica to go skiing and climbing some more. So, that place being my favorite, I'd love to go back. And then Everest was incredible. But, there were some hard and challenging mountains as well, such as Mount McKinley in Alaska, which is the highest point in North America. Each and every mountain had a story, and you'll see in the book.
About what you went through mentally. Mentally is really, mountain climbing is a very rigorous kind of an event to do. You can be getting physical shape as best as you can. How do you prepare mentally for that? And as someone who's 10, 12, 13, whose life experience is just, less than two decades old, what kind of things did you draw upon, or what inspiration did you have for that?
Yeah, I mean, being a global citizen or becoming a global citizen in the process was something that just something was that I just thought was incredible. You know, getting to see just all these cultures around the world, and that's what's really helped me develop and mature as a person. So, you know, mentally preparing for all these mountains, you know, it was just, you know, it's something that was just gradually happening through time, and there came a point where I really became a valid member of our team, and you know, became like just like another adult to you know, amongst other people. So you know, that's definitely key, and you know, you just gotta be ready for anything the mountain throws at you. So it's just through time you get mentally stronger and stronger, just know what to expect.
Right. I suppose as being a younger person, maybe smaller at some point, you could probably fit through areas that a grown adult might not have easy access to. So maybe there's a slight advantage for the size, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, there are some studies to, you know, to see if younger people do better in high altitude, but I don't really know. But I don't know. We just I just know I was feeling great throughout most of the time, but you know, not perfect.
How many people does it take? You mentioned that team. Usually, is there a standard number, or what is a good number of people to have on a team for a mountain climb?
So our team, for example, on Mount Everest was around, it was actually six people to be exact, six people and one cook. And it was the six people on our team that planned to make it to the summit and did. We had a 100% successful rate within our team, which was incredible. You know, couldn't ask for anything better. But usually average groups can range from about 50 to 100 people, but you know, they're not, I you know, we always look at them and think they're not as close-knit as we are, and don't really have a bond like we do. So,
Well, so you got a
and that's key.
family bond, and not only just because of the team, right? I was assuming you have your father's involved with these too, right?
Of course, yeah. We,
Yeah.
I mean, we know ourselves better than anyone else, but yeah, my dad and my stepmom, Karen Lundgren, we did all these mountains together as a family, and you know, definitely couldn't have done it without him.
What's it like to have your parents' support or involvement in that? Some kids like to do these things and like, you leave me alone, I need my own time. Did they still treat you like a parent's son, or was there sort of this, you know, obviously each of you working together as a team?
You know, there are some times when, you know, we do make each other crazy. And yeah, you'll see in the book most of the stories, you know, in between, you know, some of the camps and, you know, some of the stories that made us just drive each other crazy. But yeah, I mean, working together as a team it's just always key. You know, we know each other better than anyone else, and, you know, to always just look out for each other is just what's always key, and to always be moving together and just having a bond like that is, I think, what made it so successful.
Are climbers superstitious in any way? Do they take certain things with them, or pack a certain way, or a certain snack they have at a certain point in the climb? Is there such a thing as that?
You know, you're kind of the first person to ask me that question, but I guess there are some climbers that are superstitious, but you know, I don't know. I had some friends and family from back home that gave me some good luck charms, like a rabbit's foot and some other souvenirs that they just wanted me to take to the summit. So just to have those, you know, reminded me just how much support I had back at home, and you know, no matter how down I was feeling, I just knew I could always take one more step.
We're talking today to Jordan Romero. No Summit Out of Sight is the book, the true story of the youngest person to climb the seven summits. Tell me about this Find Your Everest project. What is that?
Yeah, so the Find Your Everest is basically a project to inspire the next generation and adults to go big in their lives, and to, you know, set a big goal for themselves. You know, so finding your own Everest, of course, doesn't mean, you know, to climb Everest. It's to find like what your Everest is in life, and whatever goal it may be, and you know, and what it comes down to is that nothing can stop you, and that anything is possible. You just have to put the hard work into it.
Seeing here that you're climbing also the highest points in each of the 50 states. Is that something you're still working
Yeah.
on, or what?
Yeah, of course. That's something I'm working on. I mean, over the next few years, it's something I hope to accomplish. But we have 15 states down and 35 to go. Last one being Mount Hood in Oregon. And but yeah, we'll have to find the time to go get a bunch of the East Coast and Midwestern states done. And yeah, I think it's going to be really cool to just experience my own country and to, you know, being around the world. I don't think I've seen enough of my country.
Well, when you're up there on the mountains, is there a lot of a view, or I'm imagining there's a lot of cloud cover and a lot of snow?
It's a lot of everything.
Okay.
Great views, stormy weather, vertical climbing, knife ridges. I mean, you name it, man. It's everything. But there's just nothing like being at the summit and, you know, sharing the moment of your sharing a great moment of accomplishment with your family and being able to enjoy an incredible view and being on top of Mount Everest, literally standing on top of the world, was just absolutely mind-blowing. And to, you know, for that 15 minutes we were on the summit, felt just incredible. To, you know, all the hard work that we put into it and to reach our goal is the best feeling ever.
Wow. When you got to the top, did you say anything? Was there a
We said all the different kinds of things. I mean, it was a lot of tears and hugs shared around the group, and I actually called my my mom from the summit and said, "Mom, it's your son calling from the top of the world," and that was an incredible moment right then and there, and we just kind of headed right back down after that. So yeah, it was.
So you get good cell service on the top of the world, I guess.
with a satellite phone, of course, but
yeah. Wow, that's great. When you get up to a top of a mountain, is there a time? You said 15 minutes. Is there a point where you're? I mean, you get there, you're done. You're thinking, okay, I'm enjoying this. How do you know when it's time to leave? People show up, or what usually happens in this case like that?
Well, you just kind of go down. I mean, when you're up on Everest, I mean, you only have a limited supply of oxygen. That you have to be carrying with you. So this area called the death zone, which is 26,000 feet and above, is where the human body can't survive no more than a few days without supplemental oxygen. So it's just an area where you really need to just get in and out of as quickly as you can. And, you know, enjoying the moments on the summit is great, but of course, you know, you're up there where you're up in a pretty dangerous zone, so you just need to get in and out of there as fast as you can.
Right. And I suppose as you're coming back down of any of those, you probably take one last look back of the place you've been, and there's a moment where you're thinking, "Wow, I can't believe I did that."
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of those times. I can tell you what. Of course, going back down to base camp and looking back up on the mountain, it's really cool stuff to look back on.
Wow. And, of course, the book's full of a lot of different pictures as well. It's a book called No Summit Out of Sight, The True Story of the Youngest Person to Climb the Seven Summits. Our guest today has been Jordan Romero. Good luck with your next climb and the other projects you're working on. I appreciate your time today, Jordan.
Thanks for having me on. Have a great day.
Thanks.